Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, where we're all about transformation as we aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though it might at first seem a bit counterintuitive, just like the nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Thank you so much for joining me today. Talking about singing, my guest today is the fabulous Devon-based musician James Frost, who has brought out a truly uplifting album called All of Our Hands. This album really is a unique collaboration, a celebration that honours the sacred in our lives and embodies the power and joy that comes together when music meets community. It's a beautiful example of how music can be used to heal, and James has generously allowed us to play some of the tracks here today. So before we get into the chat, here's a taste of the title track, All of Our Hands.
As if we all chop the wood, then who would make the spark? And if we all bow to the gods, then who would make them laugh? If we all reach for the same, if we all play that game, then who's gonna play your part? 'Cause it takes all of our hands to build this bright world that we'll leave for the children long after we've gone. One of the secrets is to believe it as if it's already ours. One of the secrets is to believe it as if it's already ours, as if it's already ours.
Fantastic. You know, that is such a beautiful track, really lovely track. And the whole album is great. So tell me how it came about. What, you know, what was the inspiration?
That track, All of Our Hands, was actually written at a community building camp. And it was written around a campfire. Sounds very idyllic, but that's how it happened. And it was very much a kind of old style village setting where you had people of all ages on this camp and lots of kids running around, lots of families, and it's just something about the spirit of that camp was captured in that song, just because it was very uplifting being there and very much connecting with the old ways and very much intergenerational, and seeing the kids having a lot of input from different adults and also teenagers giving energy to the smaller kids, and it just really inspired that message. It takes all of our hands to build a brighter world that will leave for the children long after we're gone. So that's a kind of message that was, yeah, that was felt in that moment by me and captured in that song.
And it's just wonderful as well how on the whole album you've involved so many people. So it's not just you singing, playing, with a bunch of musicians. You've invited so many people. It's a real community piece, isn't it? It's a real community effort.
Yes, there's over 100 musicians and singers on my album, which is very, very unusual, even for a major label release, but especially unusual for somebody who's an independent artist like myself. So it was a labor of love, but it was a vision. It was a vision that was calling for lots of people and to be part of the project. That idea was seeded at concerts and festivals where I would play my songs, and a lot of them are quite anthemic. And I had many experiences of people singing the songs with me, and the whole room being full of voices. And so when it came to recording the album, I really wanted to capture that spirit in the recording studio. So, as well as all the beautiful musicians that took part in the project, I worked with a couple of community choirs in Devon, where I live. And also, I created opportunities for people who were following my music and people that had given donations to the making of the album to actually come to the recording studio for the day and actually sing on the album. Because I love this idea that you could pre-order an album by an artist that you follow, an artist that you love, and then you yourself could come and sing on it. That's.
I love that.
It's a great idea, and
And if I'd known about it, I'd have been there, I tell you.
next time for sure. So 60, 70 people came to Real World Studios for the day, which is a very big recording studio near Bath that's founded by Peter Gabriel and Real World Records, and it's synonymous with the WOMAD Festival. And so people came from all around the country, people of all ages, to join a choir for the day and be part of a professional production recording process. So it's beautiful to create that experience for people.
Yeah, that must have been a really lovely experience. Peter Gabriel wasn't actually there, though, was he? He didn't join in, did he? He was probably off doing something somewhere else.
Yes, he was off doing something somewhere else, but I think he would definitely have approved. And it was certainly in the spirit of collaboration that studio really stands for.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the kind of thing. I was thinking as you were talking that he's done so much in
Yes.
terms of bringing communities together worldwide. So that create so see, this is why this is so special, and it's such a beautiful idea. But then when you think about music going back over the ages, and we'll talk about going back over the ages in a moment with another track from your album. But when you think about music, it was always a community thing. If you go back to when our ancestors were just literally, as you were doing, singing around the campfire, It was a community thing, and I think for a lot of people, certainly where I live in Scotland at the moment, we still have a vestige of this community spirit in terms of music. You know, ceilidhs, just impromptu house parties. Everybody sang, or somebody had a guitar, or somebody had. There was always music, but a lot of people have lost that in their lives. And I think it's brilliant if you can sort of show the way, be the way shower of how to bring that back into people's lives. Was that in your mind when you did this?
I'm not sure it was in my conscious mind, but I definitely think the spirit of what I was offering connects back to those times you're talking about, where people would just gather for music, and it wouldn't be so much that this is the performer and this is the audience, that it would be much more, like you say, of everybody's doing this together. And I've always tried to break down that barrier between the audience and the artist. Inevitably, there is always some aspect of that, but at concerts, I really try and get people singing and involved in the whole experience. And I then translated that to my album. People also helped me create the lyric booklet by sending in lots of pictures
Oh, beautiful.
and illustrations that were collected for the lyric booklet. So the whole thing was very collaborative, and maybe it comes from my family background. On my father's side, they were all from Liverpool, and my dad often recounted stories of them all just going down the pubs and just singing the whole night. They would just sing around a piano the whole night, not for any kind of aspiration of doing anything with it, but just singing their hearts out every Saturday night around the piano. And my dad always loved that.
And and singing is so good for us as well. It's so
Yes.
healthy for us to sing. It does something to us. It must release a whole bunch of hormones that are really good for us in our bodies, right? So yeah, and it was a big thing even all across the UK, and I'm certain in other parts of the world as well. This whole thing of community coming together and having a sing song, you know, the old Joanna in a London pub, that kind of thing, you know. So, but it was a great way of communities coming together and enjoying something which was actually quite magical, even if it was in a pub and people were getting a bit drunk. It was bonding, wasn't it? It was bonding communities together.
Yes, it certainly was. And bonding people of all ages and all different backgrounds, it's very inclusive. And when you sing together with people, it just naturally breaks down barriers between people, or any kind of judgments that you have, or conditioning that we somehow take on, and looking at people and thinking they're somehow different to us. But when you all sing together and you hear everybody's voices in the room, and you're collectively creating sound and creating beautiful sound, and something about the way that harmonies, vocal harmonies, where people are singing different things and yet it's locking together into something that is felt together. Yeah, it's very healing, very healing. And I've had times in my life where I've been in choirs and had experiences of singing together with people, and my heart just really opening, and lots of emotions moving, and you don't really know where it's coming from, but it's very powerful.
It is, and I keep saying to myself, I used to be in a choir when I was at school, and in a madrigal group as well. I used to do a lot of music when I was at school, and haven't done so much since. But I keep saying to myself that even at my age now, I really would like to join a choir, because
Yes, you
there's
should.
nothing like that feeling of unlocking, that just outpouring of energy when you're singing in a choir. It's quite beautiful, isn't it?
It is. And some people, for whatever reason, have been given or have got the idea that they can't sing, or certain experiences in their early life have led them to believe that they're not musical, or but the experiences I had of gathering people up into choirs for the day just showed me that actually anybody can sing with the right approach. You know, we spent time warming up voices, singing simple songs, and then slowly, slowly tackling more complicated harmony parts. And I really didn't know if that idea would work. It felt risky and experimental because it only takes one person to be really out of tune. Then you've got a problem when you're trying to record that onto a, in quotes, professional album. But everybody did so great, even the kids that were there. I mean, they were just. It just sounded so rich and full of human spirit. And yes, maybe not absolutely perfect, but all of that kind of creativity and collaboration got woven into the tracks on the album. So I'm so glad that I did it like that, rather than just hiring, in quotes, a professional choir to just do a job. It's just so much more rich doing it like that. And as I say, it showed to me that anybody can take part in singing and in choirs, in choir events like that.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you didn't go down that route as well, because I think that what we have with the album, and we'll hear another couple of tracks as well, or parts of another couple of tracks, is that there is a richness of quality to the finished result that you don't get in a sterile studio environment. There's a heart energy in there that comes across, I think. Is that what you think is happening here? It's that heart, it's that outpouring of
Yes.
delight.
Yes. And like a lot of albums that we listen to are made in dark rooms, you know, in recording studios. And often, and I'm not judging this, it's just a fact that often a band will book a recording studio for a week or 2 weeks, or the record label will book that. And they will go in with a producer. And that's the time they've got, and they will make the album there and then in that studio, and you won't get to hear about it or see anything about it until it starts to be released, you know, which could be a year or two later. Whereas making an album as an independent musician and an album of this nature was a labor of love. It's like it took me so much time, and it was a pilgrimage around the country recording different musicians and involving all these people singing on it. And it was all crowdfunded by fans or followers of my music. And like I said, I involved people in the artwork, and it's a totally different kind of way of making an album that's much more organic and grassroots, much more collaborative. But I guess that's just who I am. That's who I am, and that's the communities that I connect with.
Yes, and James also had the courage to do that as well, which is quite something. Okay, well, it's time for a break right now, but stay with us for more talk and more music. Back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and a special guest today, musician James Frost, talking about his wonderful collaborative album, All of Our Hands. Now, before we started recording, James and I were talking about how organic the process of birthing this album was. And it truly did seem to be a birthing process. One track that might illustrate that more than the others is this one, Old England Alive. Let's hear a bit of it.
The days were long and yet fleeting, as I made my way across the aisle, through the patchwork of towns, quietly keeping old England alive. I saw Ferris wheels and the May Queen dancing. I heard church bells ring in the many stony spires, and by the light of the dark I found you waiting, old England alive. Father, you said it died, but I tell you now, old England is alive. The fair wind blew south, clouds clearing, I drove from the tour under painted skies to where the marshmen sing for the salt and the samphire, and old England's alive. Those books they lie, they said it died, but I tell you now, old England is, I tell you now, old England is alive. Stories are written in the ground.
Well, that was Old England Alive. Absolutely beautiful. Love it. Love it.
Thank
now,
you.
Oh, gorgeous. And again, it speaks to something which is important to me and important to the messages that I hope people get from this show, in that nature and the living world around us is so important. And you actually sent me a piece that you wrote for Beltane. It's in The Guardian. You explained how this track came about. And you were traveling across the south of England and noticing the beauty. And there was one line in the lyrics that you, it was one of the first quotes from the lyrics that you used in the piece. And when I heard that, when I listened to the track, I just thought, oh yeah, yeah, that is so right. You know what I'm talking about here.
Our stories are written in the ground. That's the line you're... We're old England bound. Our stories are written in the ground.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel that. I feel that. Yes. I feel that, you know, when we lose, though, our connection to the land and our connection to all those stories, which are rich and so important. And I think what you've done with this track is that you've embodied that musically. And, you know, you're bringing that out for all of us to open our eyes to what's around us. And if anybody's interested in the piece that you wrote for The Guardian, do you think it will still be online?
Yes, it will be online. It's under James Frost, A Musical Pilgrimage.
Yeah.
That's how they phrased it. And I do feel it was like that. That I set off around England visiting various sacred sites and various iconic places. And out of that journey of reconnecting with our land came this song, Old England. And I think in recent times there's been a fascination with other cultures and what they can teach us, which is very true and very, very helpful, taking inspiration from other cultures. But that song is pointing us back to our own culture somehow, our own stories, our own history, our own beautiful, incredibly beautiful landscape. And even myself, before I set off on that trip, I maybe wasn't so connected with it. And that trip, which took me to Avebury, Glastonbury, Dartmoor, Cornwall, and other places, I was just stunned all over again at how beautiful England is and how much history is just waiting for us there if we just look. How much beauty and history and stories of people and land, they're just all around us. They haven't gone away, and it just takes us connecting with them, takes us spending a moment, spending a day, spending a pilgrimage like I made to just reconnect with all that indigeneity that actually we can feel as well as English people, Scottish people,
Yeah, wherever we are, indeed, you know.
yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We don't just have to look to other cultures. And I feel like that song is, it helps me feel a sense of national pride or a kind of belonging to this land that maybe I'd forgotten.
Well, it
So
does.
yeah.
Yeah, it does. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but it does come across as being quintessentially English. That's not a bad thing at all, because it took me back to when I used to live around those places in Somerset, and you know I know that part of England really very well, Cornwall, right, all those places. And there is a beauty. There is a I used to delight in all the seasons there, you know, and the lush meadows, for instance, in Somerset. It's no coincidence that Somerset has known for its dairy produce, for its cheeses and its milk and everything, because the pastures are just so beautiful and lush, you know. And you talk about collecting samphire and you know all of the old ways that were common in those days, and you just see sort of it's almost like shadows of that past in the landscape, which is just gorgeous.
Yes, and also all the strange and wonderful English customs
Yeah.
where we celebrate the turning of the seasons, that are incredible. I've just been again in Glastonbury for Beltane, and it's just a timeless,
Yeah.
ancient ceremony being played out in
Yeah.
front of us that takes the whole day of processing this maypole around the
I
town
know.
up to Glastonbury Tor, and involving the men, the women, the children, everybody dressed up, painted faces, all the musicians. I mean, it's such a huge community effort, and it doesn't take much to just open one's imagination and just imagine that all happening hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago in a similar way.
Yeah.
And it's just, and these kind of ceremonies go on all around England. There's lots of towns and villages that have their own curious little ceremony where the roots of it is lost in time, but it doesn't matter. The fact that it's carrying on and it's pointing us to that history is just so special about England.
Yeah. And it's not that we want to be in those times today necessarily, but it's just acknowledging our past, acknowledging where we come from, which I think is really important.
And so uplifting.
It is. And Morris dancers and that sort of thing, you know, I mean, if you're not from the UK, you don't know what a Morris dancer is. I would Google it and have a look at some of the videos to let you see what that is. It looks weird, but it's a tradition that's been going for hundreds of years in the UK.
Yes, also in Devon, where I live, we have one of our national parks, Dartmoor. And on Beltane, you can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go out to a particular rocky outcrop on the moor, high up on the moor. And there'll be hundreds of people there, and it'll all be dark. And then across the horizon come these Morris dancers. They're all in black, bells and sticks, and they're carrying fiery lanterns. And they come amongst the people, and then they dance all these traditional songs with live musicians until the sun rises. I mean, it's so
It's amazing, isn't it?
atmospheric. Yeah,
Yeah.
so atmospheric, so beautiful,
It
so
is.
ancient.
Yeah, exactly. That's at Beltane. But then around Samhain, certainly here in Scotland, when I was younger, it's changed a bit now because we've become a little bit Americanized. But Halloween used to be dressing up to disguise yourself so that the spirits didn't know who you were. It couldn't take you, carry you off somewhere. And going around people's houses and performing for them. So you would either recite a poem or you would sing something, or if you had an instrument that was portable, you would play something and you would be given a gift, either money or an apple or something, you know, something to eat. And again, that's a tradition that goes back centuries into the depths of time when
Do
people would.
you remember yourself doing that as a
Yeah,
child?
I do. I do. It was brilliant. It was a bit scary because I was a bit shy, but we did it, right? We knocked on people's doors and we carried lanterns made out of swede, which is in America, they call it rutabago. Pumpkins are quite modern and imported from North America. But we carved out these swedes and they stank because you put a candle inside them and it would burn the inside of the swede. Can you imagine burning, you know, swede on the stove top when you're cooking? That's what it smelled like. But we did it. And carried those around with us. Yeah. No, I remember it very well. Yeah. And then we used to go off and buy fireworks with them for November the 5th with the money. Any money that we got, we spent on fireworks for November the 5th. But again, you know, another ancient, well, not ancient tradition, but an old tradition that's we've kept alive somehow.
Yes, there's a tradition in Devon. I think it's on November the 5th. It's either Halloween or November the 5th, where they, in a particular town called Ottery St
Ottery
Mary, I
St.
think.
Mary, yeah.
Yes, they get all these barrels
Yes.
and they set them alight and roll them down the high street.
I know.
I mean,
I
what?
know.
Where does that come
I know.
from?
I've
Who
no idea.
knows?
I know. We have lots of these weird traditions, don't we? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think your track there, Old England, it's just beautiful and really encapsulates what I feel when I'm in the English countryside and tuning into that energy. And you talk in the Guardian piece about being at Avebury and walking up towards, you know, Kennet, Long Barrow, and of course, Silbury Hills near there as well, which actually Peter Gabriel wrote a song about, didn't he? Did
Yes, he
he?
did.
Yeah,
Yes,
he
he
did,
did.
because he lives
Yes.
not far from there.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And it was also a time in my life, as the piece in the newspaper says, where I was on a pilgrimage. I was roaming around England, and that first trip took 2 or 3 weeks, as is described in the article. But then it carried on. It carried on with me making this album and living somewhat on the edges of society, or at the good grace of a whole community of people, where I did lots of house sitting, pet sitting, staying with friends, staying with people who followed my music, like scaling back my expenses, putting my music at the center of my life, putting this album production process at the center, giving all of my energy to that. And somehow it was all connected with the making of this thing, the birthing of it. Somehow stepping away from what I'd known before, because I quit my job, I left the city that I was living in, Norwich, over on the east, and then I started traveling about and staying, as I said, at the good grace of friends and at the generosity of strangers, and touring about, traveling, meeting different musicians, recording different musicians, doing lots of house concerts. So coming into people's homes, sharing music. So again, it's like all of that experience is not how you'd normally make an album, but it
No.
took me to my edges.
Yeah.
And somehow part of that is captured in the richness of the music, and also in that song Old England, because it does describe that kind of journey. With eyes wide open, discovering something new, leaving behind the familiar.
Yeah.
And that was all part of the journey of making this record.
Yeah, beautiful. So you, in effect, a modern day troubadour in many
Yeah,
ways,
one
going
could
from,
say that, yes.
going from play. I love that idea.
Yes, I love it as well.
Yeah,
Yes, and it
no.
was like I could connect with something of that ancient spirit, particularly when I was doing house concerts. And yeah, it's quite intimate, really, to invite a musician into your home and invite all your friends to come. But yeah, there's something really special about that, and something very honoring for the musician,
Yeah.
to be kind of welcomed into different communities, hosted and celebrated for an
Yeah.
evening.
I
Yeah.
love that. Yeah, I do
And
love that.
meeting people directly, because a lot, again, the way the music industry is, it doesn't always facilitate that direct meeting with people.
Quite
But
the opposite, in
I've,
fact. Quite the opposite.
yes,
Yeah.
exactly. But I find that very heartening, and gives me energy to write music, and stories come out of these travels and the meetings of people that turn into songs. And yeah, and so the threads carry on.
Yeah, I guess that's how artists have been inspired throughout the millennia. But it's beautiful to hear James speaking about his process in this way. Well, there's still more to come, but first it's time for another break to hear from our wonderful sponsors. Back right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, joined today by James Frost, talking about his beautiful collaborative album, All of Our Hands. Now, one of the things that I love about this album is that James doesn't confine himself to one style. To me, it makes for a more vibrant experience. So let's listen to some of our final track for today. It's called Where Everything Is Music. Well, that's just life, isn't it? Here it is.
Like spindrift, or the edge of driftwood lying along the beach. These poems reach up to me. They're deriving from a slow and powerful plea from a root we can never see. We've fallen into the place where everything is music. Fallen into the place stop the words now, stop the words now. Open up your chest and breathe. Let the spirits fly in free.
I love that track. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's not necessarily what I might have expected had I heard the other two tracks that we played today.
Well, that song is actually born from a poem by Rumi of the same name that I adapted. And also the choir in that song is the choir of people that follow my music, fans that all came to Peter Gabriel's studio that we were talking about earlier. And there's also a lovely story about that song, because you can hear when you're listening to it, there's a lovely piano running through it. It starts with the piano and the guitar, and the piano just runs through the whole track. And that song actually was first written on a piano by a lady called Beth Coombs, a pianist in Devon, who I've done many concerts with. And we were rehearsing in a music room owned by an elderly lady in the town that where we live. And we were rehearsing there for a concert we were doing in the evening. And Beth started playing this piano improvisation that she'd been working on. And I started reciting this Rumi poem. And that was the seed of that song, was born in that music room on the piano. And then over the months, I carried on working on the song, putting melodies to Rumi's words. And then quite a long time passed, years passed, and that song became a favourite when I was playing live. And then I was recording it onto the album. And when we were recording it onto the album, I heard that the lady whose music room it was had passed away.
Oh, no.
So I was thinking about her when I was recording my guitar, recording my voice. We recorded the percussion. Then we recorded the choirs. And then the final piece was recording the piano, because I was thinking to myself, this song was written on piano, so we need to have some piano on this song. And I was looking around for a recording studio that had a really nice piano. And I was struggling to find one. And then somebody suggested to me, recommended this church in Dartmoor, where I live. They said, oh, they've got a piano. Maybe you could hire the church and record it on their piano. And I phoned them up and they said, yeah, that's fine, come in. And when we got there, the guy who met us said, oh, you'll enjoy this piano. We've only just got it. We picked it up from a house where the elderly lady had just died.
No, it and was the same piano.
It was the same piano that we hadn't seen in years and years and years. And it was the same piano that we wrote the song on that we ended up recording it. Isn't that magical?
Absolutely. That's just beautiful, isn't it? Things always come back to you if it's meant, don't they?
Yes, they
things
do.
Always and come back.
Somehow I feel like the lady orchestrated that from above.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let them have it. Let them have the piano. Oh, that's a beautiful story. And what a lovely story to kind of end our conversation on. Sadly, I could talk to you all day about music and stuff. But James, it's been really beautiful listening to the album. And it's been
wonderful
speaking to you about your process and about the wonderful music that you create, and it is a healing force, I feel. So thank you for coming onto the show and talking about it. Before we go, though, you must tell people where they can find out more about you, buy the album, all of those things.
My website is jamesfrostmusic.com. If you want to buy the album, support the artist, buy a CD, buy a download, you can go to Bandcamp and search for James Frost, All of Our Hands, on Bandcamp. And yeah, as I say, you can buy a beautiful CD with an illustrated booklet and read all the lyrics and the notes about the album. You can also stream the album on Spotify and Apple Music, Amazon Music, wherever you listen to your music. If you search for James Frost, All of Our Hands. And also, if you look on my YouTube channel, James Frost Music, you will find some little documentaries about the making of the album and the recording of the choirs and some lovely music videos that accompany a few of the tracks.
So, yeah, do check all of that out. Go buy the album and support James. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, James. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a pleasure for me, and yeah, thanks to everyone out there listening. I really appreciate it.
James Frost there. I really could have talked with him all day, but it's all about the music today. So, all that remains to be said, I guess, is go and treat yourself to the album. You can find out more about me at The Practical Alchemist, and I would love you to join me next time for more fantastic guests. But right now, let's just let the choir take us out.